Welcome to AttorneyBusters.com. This is Gene 40, and let's get warmed up for barbecuing some corrupt, unethical attorneys across the entire United States and exposing judges and district attorneys that are unethical and are simply shams and parasites upon our judicial system. For my first-time listeners, I am not an attorney, and I don't provide you any legal advice or legal opinions. The information that I'm going to be sharing with you across this next hour has been developed from my own personal experiences as being an unwilling victim of judicial corruption stemming out of Monterey, California. I started AttorneyBusters.com to be a flare across the nation that I could send out to let other individuals know that if they've had problems with attorneys, with judges, with public officials, they could contact us and let us know about that. We stream live on the web, and since we've been streaming live on the web on KRLA 870 AM Smart Talk, we become involved in cases all across the country. Judicial corruption knows no jurisdictional limits, such as a state. The tyranny of a corrupt government or corrupt public officials does not end here in the United States, as we can see what's taken place in Iraq and what goes on out there. Iraq was filled with propaganda by Saddam Hussein, telling their people that everything was just fine. They could turn on their TVs and they could see these individuals out there applauding Saddam Hussein about all the great things he was doing. We here in America can turn on our TV sets just practically any hour of the day, and we can watch a nonsensical show, such as Law and Order, telling us that our DAs out there and our attorneys out there inside the justice system truly are concerned about supporting the law. Now, I am not saying there are not good district attorneys across the country. The only problem is that the ones that are truly good get smashed down right now by a corrupt judicial system. AttorneyBusters.com's main focus is to expose to the public and warn the public about the problems that individuals have had invariably any time they go to utilize an attorney. And that attorney will take clients' monies, they will promise to do things, and they do not do them. You individuals out there that maybe have not utilized an attorney as of yet, think that if you have a problem with an attorney, you can go to the State Bar of California or to some other type of judicial regulatory body, and they're going to listen to your problem, they're going to jump right on it, they're going to take care of you because they're ready to smash out this crime by their brethren. You are a fool if you believe that. Now, for some of you naysayers out there, they would like to think that everything is just fine and bury your heads inside the sand. What we do at AttorneyBusters.com is that we show very clearly and publicly and on the air that the investigative organizations, being the state bars, such as the State Bar of California, or the district attorney's offices throughout the United States, selected ones, of course, where people have told us the problems they've had, and how judicial officers, such as judges, ignore crimes done by their brethren attorneys and judicial officers. How do we do that? We pull them out into the light, and I go out and I conduct an investigation of investigations done by these groups. And what invariably is revealed, that the investigations they've done were simply whitewashes and shams. And the way they get away with this, and the way they've always gotten away with this, is they will send you some type of a whitewash type of letter, or they'll ignore your complaint that you have about a judicial officer just completely. They know that the judicial officer or the attorney or the public official has committed a crime against you, no doubt. But they realize that you cannot go anywhere or tell anybody else about that problem. Today, I am preparing a letter that is going to be going out tomorrow morning. And I'm going to call it my Bunker Buster letter. And what this Bunker Buster letter does is, it puts the individuals on the other side, being this presiding judge there, a Judge Joseph McCormick, who is supposedly the head of the Osaki Superior Court, on notice that I'm putting the information right in his face of what his county supervisors have done there, what his county attorney has done there, what the district attorney's offices have done there, in ignoring the crime committed by his own public officials. At the same time that I'm sending him this detailed letter of the crime committed by these individuals out there, these public officials that have been doing this for years, this letter is going to simultaneously go to the Bureau of the FBI, it's going to the U.S. District Attorney's offices out there, it's going to 31 county supervisors in the area of Osaki, Wisconsin, and it's going to the governor of that great state, Mr. James Doyle. However, Mr. James Doyle is truly the Saddam Hussein of Wisconsin. He's not out there killing people right now. He's just stealing their money. And he's been doing this for years. And I am going to show without a doubt that James Doyle, when he was the Attorney General out in Wisconsin, had a man, Mr. Stephen Magritz, put in jail under the guise of being a, quote, paper terrorist. Why was Stephen Magritz deemed a paper terrorist? Well, Mr. Magritz had a piece of property, 60 acres in the town of Fredonia, that was worth about $600,000. The county decided they're going to foreclose on that property for back taxes owed by Mr. Magritz. When they filed the foreclosure proceedings, Mr. Magritz filed an answer to that complaint to stop it. But when Mr. Magritz then heard that there was a default judgment taken against him, based upon him not filing an answer, he went down to the clerk of the court's offices there in Osaki County to find out why. When he talked to the clerk of the court, a Mr. Jeffrey Schmidt, Mr. Schmidt said, well, the files are not there, and he picked up the phone and he called up the offices of the county attorney, a Mr. Dennis Keneally. And sure enough, the files were over at Mr. Dennis Keneally's office. That would be the opposing counsel. Mr. Magritz then put together a letter and sent it to all these supervisors that I am now sending my letter to. He sent a letter to the DA's department. And what he was telling them in these letters was that Mr. Dennis Keneally had removed his answer to the complaint, which caused this foreclosure proceedings to be done against Mr. Magritz. He sent letters to the governors, to all the public officials, telling them about this, that he was a victim and a witness of the crime. So what did Mr. Dennis Keneally do, this county attorney? He got an injunction against this Mr. Magritz. That means he went to the court and got an order from the court so Mr. Magritz couldn't file any more documents. The next step that this Mr. Dennis Keneally did was he contacted the district attorney's offices there in Osaka County, a person by the name of Sandy Williams. Mr. Keneally has the ability through the DA's department to make contact with James Doyle's offices. He was the attorney general of the state, saying that this man is terrorizing us public officials here. He says he's going to lien our properties because he's saying we're not doing our jobs. Well, they weren't doing their jobs. Mr. Keneally had committed a crime. So the next phase that takes place, Mr. Magritz does not want to move out of his property. What happens? The county of Osaki sends out a 25-man SWAT team with machine guns, and they evict this Mr. Stephen Magritz and his wife. By the way, Mr. Magritz has one hand, a small man. They didn't put up any fight. They didn't have any weapons at their house. They broke down this person's door. They went in and arrested them. Now, it really starts a smut and smear campaign. Paper terrorist. There's a terrorist in Wisconsin. And James Doyle, who's now going to be running for governor of that great state, is saying he's tough on terrorism. He's going to stomp out terrorism. And James Doyle, while he's running for this governorship, is having ads running where he's showing the World Trade Center collapsing. Of course, this is all a bunch of hoopla for Mr. James Doyle. And he used this to somehow now try to tie in this Mr. Stephen Magritz in Wisconsin as being like an international terrorist. He was not. But there is a missing piece to the puzzle. I'm now going to play for you a clip of a conversation that I had with Mr. Roy Cordy, Assistant Attorney General to Mr. James Doyle. And I asked Mr. Cordy if he was aware of an incident of Catherine Doyle, the sister to James Doyle. Listen.
Mrs. Doyle, Kathy Doyle, really kick a woman protester in front of the anti-abortion clinic?
As far as I know, no.
All right.
I believe that there might have been some civil lawsuits brought by her against people who allege that, and I think there was a settlement of some sort.
Mr. Roy Cordy was the attorney that prosecuted Mr. Magritz. Now, I have in my hands a document that is dated July 29th, 2000, about a year before this actual prosecution of Mr. Magritz took place. It's a document from the Division of Criminal Investigation, Wisconsin Department of Justice, and it is regarding a subpoena of Mr. Stephen Magritz in the case of Catherine Doyle versus WVCY. So when Mr. Cordy says, well, you know, I think there may have been a lawsuit regarding this issue, these guys are plenty smart. They're attorneys. He knew damn good and well there was a lawsuit regarding Catherine Doyle and WVCY, and he also knew that Mr. Magritz had been subpoenaed as a witness inside of the case. The plot starts to thicken. It leads back to James Doyle. And what is truly great about all this is that when I send this 6-page letter to this Judge McCormick that's going to many other individuals in the state of Wisconsin, there's plenty, I believe, good individuals out there that are in political offices. And when they get wind of this, they're going to know that I've got pieces of a puzzle that's going to take a noose and put it right around the old neck of James Doyle. And when we get back, I'm going to go ahead and show you how this Buster Bunker letter is going to prepare a hangman's noose for anybody that doesn't help to hang that James Doyle up by his toe. Book 'em, Dano. Gene 40 will be right back.
AttorneyBusters.com's radio program was created by Gene 40 to expose judicial corruption. We at AttorneyBusters.com believe that we are all entitled to fairness in our courts and from the officers of the court, including judges and attorneys. If you agree with us, enjoy our program, or have your own experience, please let us know by calling 888-211-6035 or visiting our website, AttorneyBusters.com. Your support matters. We all need to stand up for what is right. Again, 888-211-6035. Speak to me. Why are you
building this thick brick wall? Welcome back to AttorneyBusters.com. This is Gene 40 on KRLA 870 AM Smart Talk. Also being broadcast nationwide via Radio National Network on WBCQ shortwave and into foreign countries. Before the break, I played a short clip of Mr. Roy Cordy where I asked him if he was aware of anything regarding this incident of Catherine Doyle allegedly kicking a woman in front of an abortion clinic. I was incorrect. It wasn't that she allegedly kicked a woman in front of an abortion clinic. It was that she allegedly kicked a 7-year-old girl in front of the abortion clinic. And I will tell my audience this. I did speak to the father of that little girl, and there is something there. Before the end of this half hour, I'm going to show you that I can prove my case against Dennis Keneally out there in Osage County. And inside of this letter that I'm sending to this Judge McCormick, he's going to see this information too. And it's not just this man removed the clerk of court files. What he did was he caused the man to lose his property. And when the man tried to have that problem addressed, he was prosecuted as a paper terrorist and is now in jail. That is what a corrupt official can do to you. Let me first of all read to you the rules of the Osage County Court. Now, therefore, it is ordered that no files shall be removed from the clerk of courts of Osage County, Wisconsin, by anyone without first obtaining a written order of the court permitting such removal, dated March 19th, 1982. That is the rule that Judge McCormick must live by. Now, let me play you the clip of Dennis Keneally, the corporate counsel, corporate county counsel, and what he told me about these files.
They are never kept here and were never kept here. If anything, they were sent down to me to look at to say, what is this, and back within a day or so. So no, we don't keep any files.
Point one, Mr. Dennis Keneally did have the files out of the clerk of court offices at his office. Cannot be done. Let me play the clip of Mr. Jeffrey Schmidt, the clerk of that court.
Mr. Magris has said that he went there to look at his files at one time. He had witnesses with him. And when he went there and asked to look at the file, when you looked in the file, you did not find or see the answer to the complaint that Mr. Magris had sent to you that had been stamped received by your offices. He said that at that time that you picked up the phone and you called Mr. Dennis Keneally and asked him if he had the answer in the files over there at his offices. Is that what took place?
That's absolutely correct. I've testified in court to that.
There you go. He has just admitted that was absolutely correct. The files were not at the clerk of the courts, which he is supposed to be in charge of, but they were at Dennis Keneally's office. Next phase, I now try to get Sandy Gus Worth, the county supervisor, who is head of Mr. Dennis Keneally, to get this matter investigated. Let me show you what Mr. Sandy Gus Worth tells us.
First reporting.
Yeah.
You've asked me to make an investigation. I have made a verbal investigation of the two parties that you asked me to do. I did. I found nothing wrong. I found policies in place, or was told of policies.
Is this a written policy?
I have no idea.
I would like a copy
of
the written policy.
Talk to Mr. Schmidt and get
it. If Mr. Schmidt hangs up on me, what am I supposed to do?
I have no idea, but I strongly suggest that maybe you would get it from, if it's a written policy from him.
A month later, after talking to Sandy Gus Worth, this is what the clerk of the court now tells me.
As far as our rules, they're not approved by the judges. They're being revised.
You're saying the rules have not been approved by the judges?
Nope, not yet.
And are there some new rules that have been being made now?
No, they've been made, but they're just bringing them up to date.
Okay, do you have the ones that are from before or something that we can get a copy of?
I don't think so. They told us not to hand those out because they're not dated, you know, they're so old.
When did they tell you not to hand them out?
Months of ago.
She means about the time that I talked to Sandy Gus Worth a month ago. Let me play the end of her conversation with me.
All right. And what you're doing is you're making rules now that are going to be in writing that will be available.
I don't know that. Okay. Goodbye.
Well, excuse me. I was wondering.
Run away. I called her right back.
Clerk of Courts.
Yeah, hi. This is Gene 40 calling again from Attorney Buster's.
I'm not going to talk to you anymore. If you want to talk to Mr. Worth, you go ahead and do that.
Well, but excuse me. I'm trying to...
There's okie-doke. Go back to Sandy Gus Worth again. Get the runaround yet? Feeling dizzy? Let me play for you now again a clip of Mr. Sandy Gus Worth. Tell me what he would do if there had been a law broken.
I'm taking a district attorney so quick and make your head spin.
Now, let me play another clip just 2 seconds later after I said you would.
If there's a law about files that are taken out of court, I would take it to the district attorney. You would take it to the district attorney. Just give them that law and say, here it is. It's number 19.426, whatever the heck it is.
But you'll take it to the DA's for me, right?
You could take it.
No, you said you'd take it to the DA.
Take it to the DA. If I found it broken, I would take it to the DA, but I didn't find it broken. You found it.
Well, if
you have the documents,
well,
you are the one that has the thing. And I cannot talk to the district attorney.
This is plausible denial. I don't know nothing about what's going on.
You dialed his number. You got connected. You knew who you were talking to.
Yes.
I did not know. You mean I would have to recognize his voice?
You can hear him saying it, Mrs. Dennis Keneally.
Do I have to recognize his voice? Is that what you're saying?
You don't have to recognize...
voice recognition that I would recognize his voice?
He says it's Dennis Keneally. He says it's Dennis Keneally. I would give him the...
You know, you don't say that, so...
When I told him, well, Dennis Keneally told me he removed those files. And you hear Mr. Sandy Gus Worth saying, you mean I'd have to recognize his voice? I've only worked for the man with the man for 10 years. What a bunch of horse poop. Let's go further. He told me to go to the DA's office, right? Here's what happened.
You want me to contact Mr. Worth?
Yes.
To have him prosecute a criminal investigation against Mr. Keneally. And
yes.
This is what Mrs. Williams is saying I should do.
Yes.
Okay.
So now the DA tells me, no, go back to Sandy Gus Worth. Well, I did go back to Sandy Gus Worth, and he told me to go back to the DA's. Here's what the DA next tells me.
Because you've contacted how many people in our office, and we continually say the same thing.
I get this. No, I do. No, you do not. So no, you do not. I have every.
Again, we're going to have to say it's phone harassment.
Oh, so you? Oh, wait. Which you're saying now you're saying there's phone harassment because I'm getting the runaround, and I have every call.
Anonymous call now, sir.
I have every call recorded.
So now this woman at the DA's office hangs up the phone on me. So I call right back.
I want you to bring charges against me for phone harassment. That's what you said.
Now, sir.
Are you
going to
bring charges against me for phone harassment?
Hangs up the phone on me again. So I call her again. Right back.
DA's office.
This is Gene 40 calling again.
This is silly, sir. I mean, we're adults here, and I'm going to terminate the call.
Please do not sue.
So now we're getting this plausibly denial. We now see the DA sending me back to Sandy Gus Worth. Let me give you a sum up of what Sandy Gus Worth had to say about what he would do if he was in charge of a situation.
He breaks the law. It has to do with whoever enforces the law, which is not me, Mr. Forte.
I
love to because I'd immune myself.
Mr. Worth is immuning not only himself, but Mr. Dennis Keneally. Mr. Magritz had a crime committed against him, and when he tried to get that crime addressed to the local officials, they reported him to the Attorney General's office and got him declared a paper terrorist because they said they felt terrorized. This cannot happen in America. The man lost his property. He was swatted out of his home. Can you imagine this? So in less than about 5 minutes, I basically summarized a number of clips that I had that clearly show that, number one, the clerk of court files cannot be removed from the clerk of court's offices. Number two, Mr. Dennis Keneally said they were at his office. Number three, Sandy Gus Worth said that he conducted a verbal investigation, which was nonsense. Number four, the clerk of court now says that these rules that are there are not really there. They're being redrafted by the judges. And number five, I guess, essentially Mr. Worth says that he would immune himself and everybody around him. You got to ask yourself, why do these people feel so comfortable in being able to do this? And this comes back to a Governor James Doyle and his right-hand hatchet man, Mr. Roy Cordy, and their knowledge of Mr. Magritz from a year before regarding his being subpoenaed in the case of Catherine Doyle. Let me play for you a very short clip of Mr. Roy Cordy when I asked him about these clerk of court files leaving those offices.
If clerk court files are going to the corporate counsel, Mr. Keneally, the opposing counsel against this gentleman, Mr. Magritz, if they're stamping those things received, or if we're putting them on a docket sheet, but then not having them in the file, it doesn't seem appropriate, does it?
That was Mr. Cordy's response, that gasp in the end. Why do these county officials think they can get away with this? Because they know they can. It is just not only the matter of the removal of these files, it's the damage it caused to the man losing his property, being declared a paper terrorist, and being put in jail. Judge McCormick, you're going to get all the clips that were played here, plus a whole slew more. In under about 5 minutes, I just played some just basic highlights that show very credibly that these people removed these files from the office. There's a rule that says it cannot be done. Mr. Worth is not doing a valid investigation. The DAs are not doing anything. And when I tried to press forward, these rules disappear. People take off. They're hanging up the phones. All these county officials out there in Osaka are getting copies of this. It's going into Washington, and we're going to be booking some people out there. Judge McCormick, do your job. Stay tuned. Come back. We've got a really good second half coming on about what this letter really contains. Gene 40, AttorneyBusters.com. Welcome back to AttorneyBusters.com. This is Gene 40, and we are on KRLA. 870 AM Smart Talk, and we're also broadcasting via the courtesies of Radio National Network on WBCQ nationwide. We also stream live on the web. You can go to our website, attorneybusters.com, click on a link there, and it'll bring you right to KRLA 870 AM Smart Talk, streaming live on the web. Very important. Please tell others about the program that you're hearing today. We've been getting lots of emails from lots of people commending us upon what we're doing, and thank you very much for all of your support out there. But we're just beginning. The main point we try to bring out is we are exposing the absolute ludicrous investigations that are conducted of corrupt public officials, and how if you have a problem that you need to have addressed, there is no one you can go to that's credibly going to investigate those matters for you. In fact, if your attorney has information that you can really nail some public officials, you know what they're going to do? They're going to sell you out because you just become this bartering chip to them. Don't you get it? This is what we're trying to show. What we're doing here at AttorneyBusters.com, we call InfoJustice, and we go out there and we get involved in cases. But it takes a long time. We've been working on the Magritte's case since mid-December, and now we finally got it wrapped up to where we were at the point of bringing this what we call Bunker Buster letter to the Osaki County Presiding Judge Joseph McCormack. This is a 6-page letter. It lays out specifically the issues of Mr. Keneally and all these county officials out there doing things they should have not been doing, and how when Mr. Magritte tried to get them addressed, he got termed a paper terrorist. Well, we've seen when we started to try to get the issue addressed out there, we got bounced between individuals, and ultimately they said that we were harassing them. Harassing them because we were trying to get this investigation done. My listeners have been following several different stories we've been working on, and others are in different stages of development. Right now, we have a case here in California. It's Larry Nine versus the State Compensation Insurance Fund. In that matter, there was an attorney, Mr. Gustavo E. San Jose, who worked for the State Compensation Insurance Fund, that was indicted by a grand jury on 4 felony counts of fraudulent statements and fraudulent documents, which essentially caused Mr. Larry Nine to be deprived his benefits of disability for 14 years now. There's another matter which regards the criminal investigator of the Insurance Commission of California, Mrs. Kathleen Harris, where she was investigating a fraudulent insurance claim placed by some attorneys out of Monterey, California. But Ms. Kathleen Harris, when I tried to ask her questions about the status of a litigation and investigation, reported me to the Morgan Hill Police Department saying that I had made a threatening phone call to her, stating that I intimated that I could find out where her children went to school at and where she actually lived. Just last week, and my listeners know this, we played the clips, I went to the DA's office over in Morgan Hill because I sent the phone conversations that I had had with Kathleen Harris to the Morgan Hill Police Department, and they had determined that, first of all, I didn't make any threatening phone calls. But then, when I tried to get a police report put forward against Ms. Kathleen Harris, this thing just blew into the wind. They didn't want to proceed against it, and the police officer at the Morgan Hill Police Department said that he had talked to a deputy DA Mesman in the DA's department out of Santa Clara, and that Mesman said there was nothing to do. Well, the only problem about that was that I then contacted Mr. Mesman, and you know what Mr. Mesman says? He says he didn't know anything about the matter. Next step, we go down there, I bring a tape recorder with me, and the DA refuses to have the meeting tape recorded that I wanted to have done for my own protection. He also had me shoved out of the office by 5 Santa Clara police officers that did nothing but try to humiliate me and harass myself and my wife, and that, by the way, was all captured on tape recording that we played last week. So we're trying to wrap all these things together. The cases that are most farthest advanced right now are the ones that came out of Wisconsin because of the case of Mr. Stephen Magritte. Therefore, this letter that we're now sending to the Superior Court judge there, Judge Joseph McCormack, summarizes not only the Magritte case, but it summarizes the overall scheme and plan of what these individuals are doing back there, which includes the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and the Osaki Press trying to coordinate and manipulate media for what I like to call it is a spin for Jim. In other words, spin for James Doyle. Because James Doyle is known to many people out there in Wisconsin as being probably one of the most corrupt officials in the entire United States. And we are going to show that's contained inside of this 6-page letter that there is a matter of his sister, Catherine Doyle, and a vendetta that Mr. James Doyle had against a whole bunch of individuals out there that really is the basis for why they went after Mr. Stephen Magritte to begin with, and they are trying to cover that up. Out in Wisconsin, what we essentially have are a number of people being public officials that feel very comfortable in doing whatever they want to the citizens out there because they are under the protection of a corrupt governor now, Mr. James Doyle, who before that was a corrupt attorney general. This letter that we are sending out to many public officials out there, we are in the hopes and have confidence that there are some very, very good officials that would like to stand up and take James Doyle right out of his office. And we are hoping that they will feel comfortable now in going forward and knowing that attorneybusters.com is breaking some ice there. I'm going to tell you that the main thing that happens in Wisconsin right now is identity theft, land grab, and land stealing. And this now takes us to another story in Wisconsin concerning Michael Durow that I had told individuals about 2 weeks ago. We're going to be focusing more on the Michael Durow case. Michael and Kay Durow owned a piece of property in the town of Oregon in Wisconsin. They bought the property. First American Title and Trust Company was insuring their title. Well, a year after they had the property and their home was built, First American Title and Trust Company transferred back 1.5 acres of the Durow's property to the seller. When they did that, they stole the identity of Mrs. Kay Durow. And that was done by the attorney from First American Title and Trust Company, a man by the name of Mr. Marvin Ripp. I have seen the documents. This did take place. And why was this 1 acre being transferred back to the sellers? Because the sellers had about 40 or 50 acres in back of the Durows that they wanted to open up to another development to build all kinds of homes on. But when they sold the Durows the property, those property parcels out there were limited to 35-acre parcels. But Durows bought this property because this was going to be their retirement. It was going to be a peaceful, tranquil area out in the country. And all of a sudden, there's going to be a development being built right behind them. This was done at the direction and consent of the attorney from First American Title and Trust Company against the wishes of the Durows when they transferred that 1 acre away. Because that 1 acre, it doesn't seem like very much. But it allowed those sellers of that property to connect that big acreage in back to another piece of a property to let them develop it. It is land stealing. It is land grabbing. And when the Durows tried to bring this forward and went to the City Planning Commission there and to the councils out there, they were just pushed away. And the judges got involved. And the judges got involved in a way to try to make sure that the sellers of the property were able to develop that 45 acres in the back. And that's what's going on right today. Now, you'd wonder why judges would get involved doing that? Let me bring you to a story in New Jersey, and then we're going to come back to the Durow story. This story just broke in the New York Post on April 25th. It's entitled, Slicing Up Judge's Pie. A Brooklyn divorce court was corrupt right down to the bailiff's badge, officials charged yesterday. As a Supreme Court justice, his court officer, a retired clerk, a lawyer, and several court litigants were charged with a scheme to fix divorce cases in return for huge payoffs. Judge Gerald Garson, who allegedly turned his chamber into a marketplace where justice was traded for cash, trips, and dinners, stood silently in Brooklyn criminal court yesterday as he was slapped with misconduct charges that could net him up to 4 years in prison. First of all, let me input this. This man is not going to see probably 1 day in prison. Garson, 69, was suspended with pay and will continue to receive his $136,700 annual salary, court officials said. There's a picture of this guy. Sunglasses, baseball cap, tan complexion. Looks like he's going to the tennis court. This man was selling people out inside of divorce cases. What do you think judges in Wisconsin would do if they're sitting there with the ability to get literally hundreds of thousands of dollars slid underneath the table to them by property developers in Wisconsin, knowing that the Durows could not go anywhere because anywhere they went, all these other judges will simply whitewash the matter. And that is specifically what happened to the Durows. They were made out to be the bad people. And I'll tell you who the guy that was behind that little racket was. There's a judge out there by the name of Judge Stephen Ebert. over in Dane County. This Judge Stephen Ebert is going to be getting a copy of a letter that I am sending to Judge McCormack, because inside of that letter there are specific references to identity theft regarding First American Title and Trust Company over in Wisconsin. Judge Stephen Ebert, let me go ahead and explain to you, since you're going to be listening to this in your chambers one day, how you've come up. I requested First American Title and Trust Company to tell me how they were released from a lawsuit that Michael and Kay DeRoe had placed against them for identity theft of signing Mrs. Kay DeRoe's name to a transfer document on a piece of property. And what First American Title and Trust Company did, actually Marvin Ripp from the Wisconsin office, we still have to talk to the Santa Ana office about this, but what Marvin Ripp sent to me was an order that was signed by you on November 15, 2000. And inside of this order, this is what you said. First American did not breach the policy of a title insurance issued to Michael L. DeRoe and Karen DeRoe by its actions relative to correcting the error in the legal description which occurred at the closing on October 27, 1995. Judge, I imagine you must be a fairly bright man, but how can you feel that a title insurance and trust company did not breach a duty to a person when they actually stole their identity and signed away a piece of their property against their wishes and against their directions? Was there some money going underneath the table to you, Judge? I'm sure there was. And now attorneybusters.com is going to turn our focus upon identity theft in Wisconsin. And don't think I'm going to be running to the Attorney General's office, Peggy Schlockenlocker, or whatever her name is, because Peggy Schlockenlocker has Mr. Roy Cordy working for her. And Peggy Schlockenlocker and Roy Cordy, I'm sure, are little minions of Mr. James Doyle. We are not that stupid. We're going to take this case and we're going to show Judge Ebert what you guys are really made of. Also, Judge Ebert, give a call to Diane Nix. Also, to your other buddy, Judge Hickabotham, tell them the heat is going to be turned up on you, just like I'm turning it up on James Doyle. Don't think you're going to get away. I don't care if the crimes were committed against people years and years and years ago. We're going to pile them up. We're going to bring them out to the public. And just like this judge going back to New Jersey, or New York rather, in Brooklyn, they're now going to be opening up all the cases that this judge had sat on for all these years, because this guy was getting trips to Bali for $10,000. They're just crooks. And the judges in Wisconsin, they know that district attorneys under the control of James Doyle's offices out there in Wisconsin are not going to do anything to them. How this guy in Brooklyn got caught, well, I don't know, but let's see where it really goes to. You know, every once in a while, the public's got to be tossed a little bone. So what do they toss us? They toss a little bone of this guy out in Brooklyn. Let's see what happens. Getting back to Wisconsin, this blockbusting letter is going to be sent, as I said, to all top officials out there in Wisconsin. There is not going to be any plausible denial. And Judge Stephen Ebert, what they are doing in that town of Oregon right now, they are starting to develop that block of property behind the DeRoe's, and I'm going to jump in there as hard as I can and raise as much hell as I possibly can to get that stopped. We're going to start digging, and I'm positive we're going to uncover the same type of nonsense that took place inside of that case, as took place inside of the Makritz's case, as took place inside of a Larry Nines case in California, that took place in my own personal cases here in Monterey, and all the cases like this across the country. You guys cannot do this to us anymore. AttorneyBusters.com is going to stand up to you. And don't think that we're going to look for justice at the appellate court. Just recently, we had a decision come back. The appellate court judges know that the lower court's ruling was based upon perjured testimony, and that recordings that we submitted showed that our attorney had told us that the judge in that case had been gotten to by the law firm here in Monterey. Do the appellate court justices care about that? Absolutely not. Because if they brought that out, that means they'd have to come over and arrest this judge, one of their buddies, and that is not going to happen. All right, the postman is here. I want to get right into some emails that I got from the show last week that apparently set off a lot of nerves in a lot of people. We got a lot of positive emails, but I'm not going to share those with you right now. I want to go right directly to one from a person by the name of Trace 000. She has her name signed Teresa. And this is regarding the program of last week where I played the tape of how some Santa Clara County sheriffs pushed us out of the DA's office over there because we had caught the DA lying to us along with the Morgan Hill Police Department in trying to cover up an investigation of a criminal investigator from the Insurance Commission. It reads, "Hi, Gene. I listened to your show for the first time this last Sunday, and when it came on, both my boyfriend and I were excited to hear about your run-in with the police. We had high hopes that you would expose something of value to all of us. How disappointed we were to hear your argumentative and unrealistic attitude toward the people you were dealing with, and how sad it was that we immediately changed our minds to support the law enforcement side of your picture. We actually wanted you to succeed, but felt that your attitude of one-upsmanship and hostility would get you nowhere. In fact, as your show went on, we more and more understood where the cops and other law enforcement people were coming from. You say you want to uncover actions that are not in concert with our legal system is supposed to act. But you approach each individual you talk to with suspicion and doubt, immediately putting them on the defensive. You could do so much more good if you had only learned to communicate effectively. There was a lot of hype surrounding your show on Sunday, and when it was over, we felt that we had been duped. There was nothing of value reported to us at all, and in all probability, nothing will come of all of your rantings. My boyfriend works for the county, and while he is not an attorney, he comes into contact with the judicial system quite a lot. Just because the case you were questioning, the wrongful complaint filed against you, was occupying a large portion of your waking hours doesn't mean that the DA or any other people involved were viewing it as a priority. These cases are all computerized, and when you made reference to it during the phone call, the gentleman you were speaking with did have to look it up. It was highly egotistical of you to think he would keep your file at the ready. It sounded like the matter was rather minor in nature, except to you. And then you questioned why the police were making fun of you? My dear man, every other word out of your mouth made me want to smack you upside your head, so I'm not at all surprised they poked fun at you when they had the chance. There is no law against what they did, and as to whether or not they had the right to shut you down because they did not want to have the meeting recorded, well, I don't know, but I'm convinced that your approach to the people you were dealing with had everything to do with their seeming bias. Heck, I was biased against you, and I have never even heard you speak before today. Do yourself a favor. Take a Dale Carnegie course. There are so many effective methods of communicating and getting the people around you to respond positively. Using legalese and being suspicious of your world will not get you very far. In any case, you did provide fodder for a very spirited 30 minutes of gene bashing. And for that, I thank you very much. As for your current profession, move on. You're not very good at it. Sincerely, Teresa." Well, this is what I wrote back to Teresa. "Dear fellow Attorney Buster, thank you for your comments and your continued listenership. Please spread the word. AttorneyBusters.com. I'll add a P.S. Hey, by the way, Teresa, does your boyfriend use the handcuffs he carries on his belt on you, or do you use them on him?" Okay, next email. Now, this email is kind of an interesting one. "I reviewed your website, and I think the stated purpose of AttorneyBusters.com is admirable. I am an attorney, and I agree with your mission. But your broadcast made you, not the police, look foolish. You sounded like a lawyer who doesn't have enough good cases in his office to keep him busy, so you were trying to create one. I doubt that's the case, but it's how you sounded. You sounded like a whining troublemaker and nothing more. The shock and outrage you tried to display was ridiculous. I have been on the bench 16 years and seen plenty of what your website says it's trying to stop. Go after some of that and stop wasting your time and PR points with invented cases involving you and your wife. I've seen many attorneys try to represent themselves, and the results are almost always negative for them. They are usually too close to the case and too personally invested to be objective and therefore effective advocates. Like a surgeon would not operate on a family member, you need to let someone else handle cases involving your wife and yourself. Signed, an anonymous district court judge. Well, you know, I don't know how smart this fella is because, you know, it says signed an anonymous district court judge, but it says it's from a man by the name of Vince Duke. Now, I happened to go to a website and I looked up the name Vince Duke at the state bar, and I don't know if this is the same man or not. But there is a Vince Duke that is an attorney out of the Sherman Oaks area. And I tried to find out if he was actually a judge. But you know what? I wasn't able to verify that, and I highly suspect that he really is not a judge. But hey, if I'm incorrect, Vince Duke, let me know. Maybe this anonymous district court judge that you put down here on the bottom is a buddy of yours? I don't quite get it. But anyway, here's what I responded. Mr. Judge Anonymous, it appears that our program certainly hit a soft spot on your underbelly. Thank you for the compliments. The show worked to expose you and your kind. If you have seen so much of what we speak about, why haven't you got up off of your pious bench and done something about it? If you have done so, then tell me specifically how, and you are welcome to be interviewed on my program. Well, Mr. Vince Duke, the anonymous district court judge, sent me back a reply to that, saying, thanks, but no thanks. Well, here's what I'd like for you to do. Fax to me some verification that you are a district court judge at 831-484-7553. Then the next question I want to pose, if you are that district court judge, and you've seen these things that we talked about on our program and on our website, why haven't you reported any of those activities? And if you didn't, then you know what? I think we should hold you accountable to the Commission on Judicial Performance up in San Francisco. But of course we know they won't do anything. Thank you, Vera Vince. Keep listening and tell your friends. Fellow attorney busters out there, we're coming down to the last few minutes of our program. And the focus today was on the Bunker Buster letter that we're sending to Judge McCormick out in Osaki in Wisconsin, concerning the Makritz issue. So he has no reason for plausible denial. And that letter is going to be going to other state officials and other government officials out in Wisconsin. Let me read to you a portion of a paragraph of that letter. Your Honor may be able to take a somewhat morbid solace in a recent statement made by Herbert Stern, a former New Jersey U.S. attorney in the early 1970s and later a federal judge, that said upon hearing of New Jersey's overwhelming political corruption, which is now being exposed by New Jersey's U.S. Attorney Christopher J. Christie, and I quote, New Jersey's political corruption is no worse than in other states, close quote. Regrettably, Your Honor, California and Wisconsin and the rest of the United States falls into that latter category. There are no state, or as the Iraqi war has shown, international boundaries on addressing tyranny. Your Honor, you're given the opportunity now to do the right thing, clean up the mess out there that has been taking place regarding the Makritz issue. James Doyle, the governor of that state, you know, you've got a bad, bad corrupt system out there, and you are going to be held accountable. We now have other cases in development. That's Larry 9 versus the State Compensation Insurance Fund here in California. And of course, the investigation of Kathleen Harris, the criminal investigator for the Insurance Commission of California, but now the Santa Clara District Attorney's offices are trying to cover up with the help of the Morgan Hill Police Department. Also, Judge Steven Ebert and Judge Hickabottom out there in Dane County, get ready, fellas. There is going to be a bad moon rising for you folks. Closing with the letter has been Gene 40, attorneybusters.com. Thank you for listening, and thank you, Radio National Network. I'm a going home. My baby, she wrote me a letter.